to be here. You got a lot of OGs in this room. For some of you don't know what that means, originally it was the original gangsters. But I would call you the original God leaders. You got people like Bill and Carl and, of course, James and Mickey and Jerry and so many other people. It's an honor to be here. Actually, when I was coming here, and, of course, you know, Grant. I love Grant. He's my boy. Me and Grant, we go way back. I love Grant. But the point of all of this today is when I was coming here, I was like, what am I going to tell these people that they don't already know? You know, I'm a guy that came here years ago for music and then got hijacked and tricked me. He really tricked me into becoming a pastor, starting in my living room. If I would have known what I was signing up for, I would have said no, 100%. Right? Can I get an amen? All right? Okay, let's be real. I'm going to be real with you today. I'm just going to be real. And you can laugh and you can shout and you can go home if you need to. But the point of all of this today is I want to speak to you what I believe the Lord is doing and what he wants to do. And there's a thing that Mark Lancaster and I love, and many of you in this room, you exemplify this, is John 17. And what I believe is if Jesus is praying a prayer, it's going to get accomplished. Can we all agree on that? Like, there's no way that Jesus is praying something and God's like, well, I don't know if I'm going to answer that. It's going to happen. So it's our choice whether we decide we want to be part of what Jesus is praying or we decide to fight against it. And one of the things that I think I would have said no to starting a church in Nashville is because I'm like, why do they need another church? It's like, we don't need another coffee shop, right? Or do we? I don't know. Maybe we do. All to say that God is desiring that his church would be one. And Jesus says this all throughout John 17. And so what I realize is there's nothing that I can bring differently to this area. Except there is only one Mark Rampula. My wife would say, thank you, Jesus. There's only one of us. And what I bring is who I am. But my greatest desire is to see the body connected. And so when I'm looking at people in this room today, that's what you guys have been doing. Jerry, you've been doing this. Bill, you've been doing this. These are men, James, Mickey, you guys have been prophesying this. This is what we believe. But for some reason, we live in a very stubborn area. Because we want to see our kingdom come, our will be done in our area as we desire. Oh, and by the way, heaven bless it. So today I want to talk to you about what I believe is unlocking a next level encounter with God. So I hope that that would be exciting to you. Because listen, here's the deal. I look around, you guys have encounters with God. Most of you wrote books about it. What am I going to teach you on encounters with God? But I think what I want to do is, if I can do anything today, is just reassure you you're on the right path. That maybe I could just encourage you today that you'll go back and you'll say, you know what? What I've been dreaming about, what I've been believing about, what I've been preaching about, what I've been writing about is the heart of God. Because I'm convinced about it. Listen, I preach this message at other churches, which is wild to me. Like, most churches don't invite other pastors, let alone pastors in the same city, to come speak. But in a few weeks, I'll be speaking at Church of the City in Spring Hill. And this is a message I'm going to be bringing because I believe that they need to be awakened to unity. So this isn't just for Worship City Alliance with a few people that really love Jesus. No, this is for the body of Christ. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts 2. And you know this. I'm going to be preaching things you probably did a thesis on already. So just bear with me, all right? If you don't like it, just don't tell me or don't email me. Just smile and say, God bless you, brother. Acts 2. How many people used to play video games? I'm in my 40s, so those of you that raise your hand, when you get to a certain level, you unlock something, right? And in order to unlock that level, you have to fight the final boss, right, at that level. Do you remember this? So it's Donkey Kong or something. Those of you, bear with me here. I know you played video games. Some of my team's lying. Anyway, the point of it is, you get to this level, right? And you're like, in order to get to the next level, you got to battle the final boss. I feel like there is a boss that the city is battling against. And it's disunity. It's our own kingdoms. And so in order to unlock a next level of encounter, it's not going, God, fire, fall. God's like, enough with your fire, fall. And I fell in this place a long time ago. What you need to do is be receptive now to what I want to do in this city. And I believe this, that where Nashville goes, the rest of the world will go. I really believe that. There's too many amazing men and women that God has planted here for this not to be a hub for the rest of the world. So we got to get this right. So Acts 2, Pentecost, you know this. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all I'm a preacher, by the way, so I may have you yell back at me. That's okay. It's normal, all right? They were all together in one place. That's really key. And you know this. You know this. People from all over were in Jerusalem for Pentecost, and they were all together. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire home where they were sitting. We know what happens, right? The next thing is this encounter with the Holy Spirit. People just get just unbelievably empowered by the Holy Spirit. Peter preaches the greatest evangelistic message he's ever preached. 3,000 people get saved on the spot and went from 120 in the upper room to 3,000. So now you got 3,120 people saved, and the church didn't have a handbook or a seminar or a conference on how to do ministry. Some of you don't even think about, like for me, like what do you do with children's ministry? Is anybody want to do children's ministry? Nobody raised their hand. How do we do this? How do we do this? Does anybody play an instrument? They're trying to develop the church, but the church came out of an encounter with God. And so here we are in this encounter. And I have had intangible encounters with God throughout my life. My dad, who was playing sax earlier, there he is right there. Dad, raise your hand. Okay, there you go. There he is. Andy Rampula. Living legend there. Him and my mom, who now is in heaven, they taught me and they put me in places where encounters with God were normal. And I want you to know that everything in my life to this point was not planned. I want to show you a picture of my family here if we could. This is a picture of my family. This is all 10 kids. So my oldest is a boy. He's 20 years old. And then my youngest is a boy. That's Leanne's holding him. And he's 1 year old, and then there's 8 girls all in there. Now, I want you to know that that looks cute, but that's a lot of work. No, I'm serious. I'm exhausted all the time. You guys are laughing. Seriously, pray for me. I came here just to get a break. Really, when somebody asked me to preach, I'm like, yeah, I'll come just so I can. I didn't have to take the kids to school today. I'm serious. This isn't a joke. This is real. Anyway, the point of it all is I love these kids, but I didn't sign up for it. You know what it was? My wife had an encounter with the Holy Spirit one day. We had about 3 or 4 kids, and we thought, we're doing it. Like, we're amazing. Like, we did enough. Thank you, Jesus. We're tapping out. And my wife was going to bed doing what many people, many women do. They pop a pill and, you know, the birth control pill. We're going to bed. And as she was getting ready to pop it, the Holy Spirit says, do you want to control this or do you want me to? And so my wife, as a good woman of God, she said, I'm good, and popped the pill and went to bed. But it messed with her all night, man. You can't let the Holy Spirit speak to you and not deal with it. So the next day she had this, she said, all right, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. I don't know what this means. We're fertile, as you can tell, you know. And so here's the deal. She went and I remember her sitting down with me and saying, listen, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And he said to me, are you going to control this whole kid thing or you want me to control it? And I said, man, this is great. Let's pray about it. We'll intercede. We'll get other people to pray. She says, sweetie, I've been off the pill for a while now. This is already happening. So I was like, well, here we go. And baby by baby, by baby, by baby. And I want you to know that's the same thing with the church. We started Southview 14 years ago. And listen, if you would have told me, why would you start a church where there's so many other churches, big churches, great churches, amazing churches? I started in our living room. Like, you know, it's nice playing bass, but when you have to play piano and then transition to yourself to preach, it's like a 2-bit rinky-dink organization. Carl, you know, like I would have everybody close their eyes at the end of the message just so I could transition. Everybody close your eyes, and then I'd get behind the keyboard, and they'd open their eyes, and there's Mark again, the keyboard player, playing behind the preacher. But you know what I did? I made a commitment to the Lord that whatever he said to do, I would do. And I believe that encounters Lord start with, first of all, saying yes. It's simple. Like, we can't say, I want an encounter with God in worship and then go home and be disobedient to everything the Holy Spirit just told you to do. It doesn't work that way. So here they are in this upper room, and let's just be honest. This was a ragtag motley group of people. Like, we give them a lot of credit for things. But these guys were like there was a fisherman. Just for a moment, if you know anything about the history of the church, Jesus picked a group of people that normally would not get along with each other. If you put a tax collector who was ripping off the people with a zealot, can you imagine the kind of dialogue they would have at the fireplace every night? Jesus would probably in the beginning kept saying, listen, guys, relax. Relax. Then you put fishermen who they could care less what they say. So they're just saying whatever they want. And all these groups of people were forced to become best friends. Now Jesus leaves. And he says, good luck, everybody, as he's ascending. I always imagine Jesus giving the peace sign. He goes, God bless you. or let me bless you. And as he's going to heaven, the disciples go, what do we do now? Like, what do we do? And they're sitting in this upper room in desperation. And the Holy Spirit comes and empowers these people, and they become radical evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers, and apostles. So if God can use people like that, you have more spiritual education than they do. You have the whole word. They didn't have this. You got Paul's letters. Peter didn't have Paul's letters. So here we are in an encounter with God, and it moves and it changes them. And I believe that the New Testament and the Old Testament parallel well together. So I want to take you to what I believe is the parallel of Pentecost, which is in Genesis 11. This is the Tower of Babel. And the reason why I believe it's a parallel for me is because you had a group of people, a diverse group of people, coming together, waiting for something, building something. But there's a difference. I'm going to read this one to you because maybe you've not remembered this story, but it says in Genesis 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. There's that unity again. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Now it's key that we know that they settled there. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. It says, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks for stone and put them for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. Now, as a parent, whenever we say, don't make me come up there, when God says, don't make me come down there, that's a big deal. Something's getting ready to happen. He came down with the city the children of men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now listen, this sentence next here, right here, I missed this sentence. But it's highlighted now for all eternity for me. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. So the rest of the story is God comes down, breaks up the party. And the reason why God was so upset with them is because there was a motive behind what they were doing that was not contrary to, it was contrary to what God had told them to do. If you know scripture and you read the Genesis 9 and 10, you'll see that God said, I want you to go out into the earth. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. And as soon as he said that, they said, well, let's build something for ourselves so we don't have to go out. And it sounds good. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds like unity, right? Let's all gather together. Let's build our own thing. Doesn't that sound like the church sometimes? I don't know. It sounds like let's build our church and let's put a really big steeple. No offense to people with steeples, but like let's make it known what we're doing in the city. But see, what happened was it got God so upset that he came down and he said this, which I think is so key to Pentecost. He said that because they're all in one accord, nothing will be impossible for them. Amen. This sentence has now been what my life's cry has been. If we can get the church together, nothing will be impossible for us. If we can get men and women together, nothing will come on now. That's for a few in this room here. Like literally, you're important. Come on. Yeah. Come on. So good. This voices of women that James Gall is doing, it's important. I think it's also prophetic that you're the only man up there too. But you know that. You're a prophet anyway. You know that. So you guys know that. There's a reason for that. Both of you. See, I want to talk to you about four different postures that will deepen your encounter with God. And I'm a preacher, so I'm going to give you points. That's just how it goes. You like that? Because this is going to be good. Number one, this is good for notes. I love notes. Notoriety versus nameless. Your position will deepen your encounter. And I'm speaking to Nashville right now. Okay, notoriety versus nameless. Pentecost. It wasn't about pride. There was a desperation. They just lost their fearless leader. They were hiding in fear. They had no idea what was going to happen. They had the church looking for them, and they had Rome looking for them. So there was 120 men and women in a room crying out to God. We need this thing called the Holy Spirit. We don't know what this is. Now, you got to imagine, again, they had no idea what it was. It going to be like Jesus walking in a room? And so they had an encounter, and it was out of desperation. But Tower of Babel was out of pride. So let me say it this way. In Babel, pride built the tower, and pride stopped the movement. But at Pentecost, at the Tower of Babel, pride built the tower, and pride stopped the movement. But here's good news. At Pentecost, His promise, Jesus's promise gathered the people, and his presence started a movement. You guys are, I like these. Can you come to my church? My church doesn't like this as much. I'm like Jesus, not even respected among the. Come on, let's eat it together. All right, so at Pentecost, I feel like I should send my notes over to them. Guys, when we do Sunday service, this is the kind of response I expect now. Okay? They're like, we heard this message so many times. Dear Jesus. Pentecost, his promise gathered the people. No, this is under one. We got a lot. We got to hustle. We got to move on. His presence started the movement. Now, I'm going to say it this way. At Babel, God breaks up the party because it focused on themselves. At Pentecost, God joined the party because it focused on his presence. And you don't want God breaking up your party. I'm not. Okay. One of the things, how much time do we have? Because I feel like I could go on for a long time because these people are egging me on a little bit. And I feel like when you do that to a preacher, you make me go, okay, let's go. Number two, we'll move on. Number two is our works versus his power. There's nothing sustaining we can do on our own power. This is interesting because there was no way in the world that that tower was going to get them to God. It didn't matter how many bricks they built and how high they went. But they were convinced that what they could build with their own hands was actually going to achieve them God status. The enemy has power too. Did you know that? So we have to discern what is the power of the Holy Spirit, what is the power of the enemy. And the interesting thing about it, the enemy knows how to masquerade his power. So that when you come to a church or you come to a meeting and they say all the right words and you go, that sounds like the word, but something's off. That's the discerning power of the Holy Spirit to let you know that maybe it might sound like God, but it isn't. See, I love that. Nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. I want you to understand that that is what God is saying to Nashville today. Nothing that they do, if we can gather together, if we can love each other, if we can champion the church down the street. One of the things Mickey was talking to me about was what we're doing, and we're doing it again tomorrow, Thursday. Sorry, I don't know what day it is. Again, that's because I have 10 kids. But anyway, they all blurs together. Thursday, National Day of Prayer, we're gathering in a Thompson Station Baptist church. With different ethnicities, different ages, and different backgrounds of ministries together to worship and pray. The worship team is a gathering of all different musicians and worship leaders from different churches. And this is what I believe when God says nothing will be impossible for them. It's in moments like that where God will move his power. But it cannot be about our works. Number three, uniformity versus unity. We feel like the only way that God can move is if we all look the same, talk the same, build the same, preach the same, believe the same things about the Holy Spirit. Oh, now I'm going to break some paradigms, because here's the deal. We can partner with people that don't believe in tongues. But see, some people, they get all bent out of shape. And here's the deal. As I've gotten to know some of the pastors in this region, they will secretly come to me and talk to me about prophecy. Like, how did you know that? When you left that voice text for me, like, how did you know that? I said, I don't know anything. I'm just telling you what I felt. I don't even remember what I said to you. How did you know that? I said, well, you can call that prophecy or just really nice words. Whatever makes you feel good about yourself, that's fine. But the reality is people are hungry for a move of God. If you want to know why some of these churches, these big churches in our region that we feel are so apprehensive to the move of God, it's because they've seen it done wrong. And they've had prophetic voices come in and manipulate people. Listen, I'm all for the charismatic. I'm all for the move of God. But listen, as the pastor, I'm responsible for what goes out over the microphone in my church. So I'm not going to sit here and let people just say whatever they want and at the end of it go, well, I'm a prophet. No, you don't get a pass by preaching things that are wrong. But when you partner the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the offices of the Holy Spirit, and you anoint that with unity, the presence of God, it's unstoppable. So whether you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheran or Church of God, whatever you feel about it, it's coming and you're going to cry out for a move of the Holy Spirit. And you may go, well, I was wrong about all these things. Well, repent and move on. But the point of it is that God is not looking for us all to look the same, preach the same, sound the same, build the same. He's wanting us to be unified. We need all people in order to see a true, sustainable move of God. In Revelation 7:9, this is where we're going. It says every nation, every tribe, every people and language. When I look at my church on a Sunday morning, I should see different colors of skin, different ages, different backgrounds, different job descriptions, people, professionals, blue, white collar, whatever it is. I should see men and women. By the way, there is only two sex. We do know that, right? Okay. I have to make sure I clarify that today. There's only two genders. But the reality is when I look out, if I don't see that, something's wrong. Because that's what heaven's going to look like. And so we can't build our, it's easy to build a kingdom around people that all agree on the same things. It's easy to preach a message when everybody's saying amen. They all look the same, sound the same, and we all know the same jokes. But when you get into a room of people that are diverse, now you're relying on the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, and you guys know this, those of you that communicate for a living, you know this. The only way you'll ever communicate effectively to a group of people in a giant room is the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how eloquent you are with words, how great your message is, how many side points and numbers you put in your message. It's the Holy Spirit that allows you to relate to young and old, black and white. That's the only thing. So if we don't understand that and realize that God is not looking for uniformity, he's looking for unity. And here's what I want to give you. Under that, under this point, I want to break down four unifying points, because I believe Nashville needs to hear this. Number one, what are we unified over? Because some people say, well, what do we unify over? We unify over the gospel. When I get together with other pastors, I'm not asking them what their eschatology view is. Like, how do they view the end times? Or I don't say to them, like, do you believe in the gifts? Are you sensationalist? Where are you at in this whole thing? That doesn't even come up. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? That there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus, through salvation, by his shedding of blood, dying on a cross, rising from the dead, and seated at the right hand of the Father? Okay, we can partner with that. That's it. That's it. You want to get into all the nitty-gritty stuff? Fine, that's fine. But don't start there. We unify over the gospel. I want to show you a picture. Many of you probably have been here. But this is a picture of me actually baptizing my brother at the Jordan River. And some of you know that spot right there. Some of you have been that spot. Probably preach messages at that spot. That spot right there on the other side is Jordan. And if you know anything about the history and what's going on in Israel, pretty much everybody that borders Israel hates Israel. Let's just be honest. They just want to kill Israel. That's why God's hand has been on Israel. He's protected them through decades, centuries. It's just been amazing. But as we're there, I'm baptizing my brother. This is the first time I was in Israel. I didn't know this. But on the other side were Jordanian Christians. And they were celebrating that these Americans in Israel were giving their lives to Jesus. And that moment, that picture is etched in my brain, because in that moment, I saw three different nations unified over the gospel. Three different backgrounds. A river separating Jordan from Israel. Nations at war with each other, yet the gospel unifies the people. So unified over the gospel. Number two, unified with a purpose. John 17. You know this. John 17 says this. This is the beauty of John 17. Jesus is praying this, and this is his request. He says, "The glory that you've given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one." So in our unity, listen to me, in our unity, it reveals God's glory and it answers Jesus's prayers. So it's not just a fun thing to do on National Day of Prayer. Hey, let's get together. It's not just a fun thing to do at Worship City Alliance. It is actually what Jesus is praying. It is actually what releases his glory. And it's actually what God is coming back to take back with him. The unified church. So unified with a purpose. Number three, unified against the common enemy. Ephesians 6:12 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And I looked it up and I looked up the Greek and it didn't say denominations in there. I thought it did. I thought it said we wrestle against the Church of Christ. It doesn't say that. It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We literally are wrestling against a supernatural force that is assigned to separate, to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does it in a subtle way. Yes, does he use people to go into a school and shoot people? Yes, absolutely. That's the horror. But he also does it in a subtle way through division in the church. So we got people coming to Southview, and I'm talking to them. Oh, yeah, well, I used to go to the Hope UC, and now I went to Thompson Station, and I went to, went to One Stone Church. Now it's Unite Church, and I didn't like the name change. So, Grant's like, okay, but Mark's a little weird. So I came all the way down to Spring Hill, and I almost want to tell them, do me a favor. Listen, you're not going to find what you're looking for here. Because we're all not here to compete with one another. We're all here together to fight a common enemy. And it's not each church, it's the kingdom of darkness. And good news, let me give you a spoiler alert. If you like movies, I'm going to blow it for you. We win at the end. It's done. It's done. It's already done. So we're not winning. We're not fighting from a place of I hope we can win. Oh, God, I hope we're going to win. No, you have already won. He's already ruling and reigning. The devil is buying time. So these smoke screens, these diversions, these distractions, these techniques that he uses to separate. Listen, it's all a devil just clawing at the last remaining morsels of things that he has. Because he knows in the end, there is going to be this moment where every tribe, every tongue, every nation comes together declaring his glory. So I want you to know this. John 17, in this prayer that he prays, and this is the part I don't like, so I'm just going to be honest with you. Jesus says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So you're not going to have it easy. This message that I'm teaching, the enemy's not well, Mark Rampula preached it. I guess I got to let him do it. He's angry at what's happening in here. He's angry at what all of you leaders have been doing for decades in this city. I'm just going to be totally honest with you. There's nothing that I'm doing or Grant's doing or any of these leaders here that you guys not have already paved the way, planted the seed. So we're building off of each other. And the last one, under the unification one, unified in a heavenly kingdom mandate. I want you to hear me today because this is something that I'm very adamant about trying to get out of the church is this political spirit. I know I'm going to offend some people, but did you know that Jesus didn't come for the Republican Party? I want you to know that. No, I just so you know, okay, we're all on the same page because some of you are this is where I leave. If this is, just pretend like you're getting a coffee and then just go right out the door if you need to go. But I mean, listen, can I be honest with you? Is it okay? We were toting Trump like he was the second son of Jesus, like he was Jesus's brother. I know you weren't, but I know there was people. And here's the deal. I understand that we are in a political system. I understand that we live in a nation and we don't want this nation to go to hell. And I have my very opinionated, deeply rooted, and absolutely correct thoughts on our political system right now. Okay? But I know this. I don't serve a party. I serve a king. Now listen to me. I know we're all clapping, but this is a big deal in the church today. Because I have a lot of friends that are in the black church that have been told and bought into a lie that the Democrats are for them, and people that are white, evangelical, they believe that the Republicans, and I look at this and I say, Lord, there's got to be something bigger than just America. You didn't die for our political system. You died for the world. And if we don't get out of the lies that are being spewed at us, that because I'm a white, evangelical, straight, I know I'm trying to find all the names that they call me right now, that I have to think this way, talk this way, be this way. We have now limited the gospel to a political system. And I'm telling you, we are doing ourselves a disservice. A.R. Bernard says this: when God no longer informs our politics, we lose our moral compass and move away from God's original intent for government. We need a move of God in the government. We need godly men and women to rise up and say, listen, this isn't even about my party. This is about a kingdom mandate. And until God decides, I'm going to still believe in America that God's going to cause revival. And here's the deal. I could be wrong, but I believe it's going to start with the church. I believe it's going to start with a church that prays. When we equate God's kingdom to a worldly government structure, we grossly cheapen the gospel. So we cannot be unified over a political party. We have to be unified over a kingdom. That's it. And number four, back to our original. Our plan versus his command. This is my last one. Don't you like when pastors say that? And I close my Bible and go home now. Okay, our plan versus his command. I want to explain to you what happened at Babel. God gave his people a command. He said, I don't want you to just settle in one place. I want you to go out into all the earth. And for some reason, as the people, the creation of the Creator, we decided that we had a better idea how to do this. So the way I'm going to do it, God, is we're going to stay here because we like each other. And we're going to build our own kingdom because we believe that we can do great things. And God comes in and says, no, 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 you don't get it. Like, that wasn't an option. And I believe that as the church today, we've made God's commandments options. Like things that are so blatantly obvious in the Word of God, we now have decided we can pick and choose if we want to actually do it. Listen, I'm not going to throw shade on anybody and how many kids you have or don't have kids or whatever. But when God said, be fruitful and multiply, like, it hit me. That was one of the original commands God gave to his people. And so I realized that, because here's the question we get all the time. Of course, when you have a group of people like that, you always go, are you done? And I feel like saying, I'm really good at making kids, so why would I stop doing it? No, anyway, I don't say that. What I say is that I really like making kids. No, I don't say that either. Listen, this is what I say. I say this. I say, look, I say, he just loves it. Yeah, you know what it is with my dad? I'm going to give you a little secret. He comes, riles him up, plays with him, and goes home. Yeah. That's what grandparents do. I see that now. It's just like, yeah, here's some candy. By the way, I got to go. You know, like, thanks, Dad. They're up till 12 midnight running around. Here's the deal. People ask me this question, and I don't have a significant answer that I can give them. And my wife and I, we get scared at that because we're like, listen, we're getting old. And 10 kids is a lot. But I want you to understand that when you're obedient to the commands of God, he supplies all your needs. We were given, listen to me, given a 15-passenger van paid for, brand new, because we needed it to actually haul our kids around. There are ways that God provides for my family that the church could never pay for. I'm going to even take it a step further. I left my job and left my health insurance, and I said, God, I'm going to go full-time in the ministry. And I did it, and I had no health insurance. Do you know that God supplied it through the local government? Took care of all my kids. My kids have better health insurance now than they did when I was working in the full-time world. Every excuse that we have gets met when we're obedient to an encounter with God. So I tell my people, when you have an encounter with God and he says, and he tells you to do something, the first response most of the people is like this: well, I can't afford to do that. Well, then you never will, because guess what? It's you stepping out of the boat that actually allows you to see that you can walk on water. Because I love this about, we give Peter a hard time, but this is what I would have done if I was Peter. I would have got back in the boat all sopping wet, people laughing. I said, well, at least I walked. All of you knuckleheads, you just stayed in here and laughed. But I got to walk a few steps. What did you do? See, here's the deal. We're afraid of steps because we're afraid of failure. But if we're obedient to God, you will not fail. It may not be what you thought. 19 years ago, I never would have thought that I would be in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Never even heard of it. Building a church out of scratch with 10 children. But here I am today, and I'm so excited and fulfilled and loving life. So it's our plan versus his command. And I want to say this to you today. I'm going to say this, and this is really true. I believe that we live in a city right now where there's a lot of ministers of the gospel that are following commands that they came up with and not the plans that God divinely gave them. And this is the reason why we're seeing a lot of dead churches. I believe that we're living, I don't know what I said, so it's going to be hard to repeat it. I believe we're living in a time, in a season, in a region where a lot of leaders are following their plans. What God has given them, he didn't give it to them. They designed it and said it was God, and they are not expecting or seeing a move of God because God never told them to do what they're doing. So if we would get back to, and here's the thing, when God tells you something, it's not always glamorous, it's not always exciting, it's not always post-worthy. You may do something God told you to do, and you put it on social media, and you get zero likes. But many times it's because us being obedient that allows God to do something great in our life. Yeah, Leroy, you can come up, or somebody come up, one of you guys that goes to Southview. I would invite the bass player, but I can't do that. I want you to understand this because the Tower of Babel looked through the eyes of someone who is not naturally gifted in understanding the word, looks at this and says, this is God being evil. And if you get the world to read this scripture, they're going to say, this is the reason why I don't like the church, because God is up in heaven smiting people. And they finally came together in unity and God goes, nope. Don't get it twisted. This is not God being evil. This is man being disobedient. And one thing I know about God, he will not be mocked. And listen, Nashville needs to understand that we are not impressive to God. Like God doesn't look down from heaven and go, wow, look at all those big churches down there. That's amazing. That's amazing. I can't believe they built all those great churches. Look at all the media and movies that are coming out of Nashville. Look at all the songs written in Nashville. I'm so impressed. God's not impressed. Do you know that? What he looks down, he's looking for that one guy that's in Chapel Hill where maybe 50 people show up to his church. And he's looking down on him and he goes, that guy's unifying Chapel Hill. Some of you don't even know what Chapel Hill is. There you go. Like Hendersonville, there's that one pastor. Like there's that Jerry Bryant, man. He's been doing this for decades. And like, you know, like people don't even know what he's done. He doesn't lead with it. He doesn't post about it. Does he even have an Instagram account? Does he even know how to get an Instagram? Who knows? But the point is, this guy just loves people. And when I listened to you speak today, I was even reminded that there's such a love and a deep admiration for God and his church in you. That it's not, you don't have to try to work it up. It's just in you. And I believe that we want a move of God, but many times we don't want to sit in a room in desperation and wait for 10 days. Your healthy position opens you up to more encounters with God. That's it. That's where I'm going to land it. You want more encounters with God? Get healthy. Phil, you said it right on. Like if you're dealing with depression, if you're thinking suicidal thoughts, this is an invitation for you to get whole and get around people that can walk you through healing. When I hear about pastors and leaders quitting ministry, that doesn't make me excited like, oh, we'll try to see if their building's available. No, we should mourn and cry that another man or woman of God has left their post because for some reason they lost their first love. So I'm going to give you a few bullet points because we need to land this plane. So right now the landing gear's coming out. Kind of getting ready to hit the tarmac here. Just random things that I believe will stop your encounter. Busyness will stop the more. God's not interested in what you do for him. He just wants to be with you. So don't be busy for the kingdom. Just be present. Building our own kingdoms and ministry is not heaven's agenda. God's called you to start a ministry, you do it. If you're doing a ministry for significance, don't do it. Unity is not an option in the kingdom. I started with it and I landed like this today. If Jesus is praying, it's going to happen. Now it's our choice. Do we want to be unified like the prayer that he's praying? Pride drove the devil out of heaven. It repels encounters with God. Obedience is always greater than sacrifice. And true encounters with God radically change us. So here's what I want to do today, because I love leaders. And if I could do anything, I would just encourage leaders all day long, just so you don't give up. If you wanted a fresh encounter with the Lord, I want you just to raise your hand right now. And I would hope everybody would raise their hands. Some of you are like, I got too many fresh encounters. I don't know. But just give me the liberty here. Again, some of you guys, you do this better than I'll ever do. But I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for the Bills and the Carls and the Phils and the Mickeys and the Jameses and the Jerrys and many of you in this room. You've been praying this for decades over other people. I'm going to pray it over you today. And I know it's nothing magical that I can say other than the Holy Spirit in this room. But with your hands extended to heaven, this is what I want to say to you today. Holy Spirit, would you just empower these people, these men? Would you just give Bill a fresh power and anointing over his life, over his family, and over South Africa that literally would have a change? Lord, I thank you for Carl, a minstrel, a man of God that plays, but then decided I'm going to leave the traveling and the music, and I'm going to go and start a church with my wife. Lord, I pray that you continue to cause the well to overflow, that there will be encounters with Holy Spirit, and that you will fill him up to overflowing. Lord, my man, Jerry Bryan, this man of God who loves you, I pray an encounter, a deep encounter, a deep significance in his life that he knows that. I feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you, like, don't question whether your life is significant. It is significant. And many times what we do bears fruit after we've gone. I'm just praying right now that you see the legacy that you placed on this city. Lord, I thank you for my friend, James Gall. Lord, I speak to his life, his body right now for a complete healing. I thank you, Lord, that nothing will stop him from ministry. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that not only will you energize him, but you'll heal him and empower him for this generation that desperately needs fathers to speak into their life. Lord, I thank you for Mickey, that you raised him and set him and you saved him from death. I thank you, Lord, for his family. And I bless them today, right now. And I pray that you give him more encounters. Lord, that the encounters he has now would be even greater than the ones he wrote about. Lord, I thank everybody. Just put your hand on your heart right now. Lord, we ask, Holy Spirit, right now, that you will create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, that we will run farther. We will run harder. We'll get excited, not out of our works, but out of your command. Go and make disciples. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I believe in the miracle of impartation. Different times, different ways. Sometimes it's very dramatic and powerful. You need to lay hands on everybody. But I felt like like that centurion. Just say the word.
Yeah.
And an impartation will occur. So I'm going to sit back down, because this message needs to be distributed through these vessels and others that they can distribute to. So I believe, as he says, no, you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to lay hands on me. You don't have to say anything except declare the miracle of this content to be imparted to these to distribute to others. I'm going to take my seat and receive.
Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. That this unity that you're praying for right now, Jesus, that this would become our mandate as the body today. Lord, I speak to this city I command every stronghold that would try to separate and divide the body of Christ to be broken down in Jesus' name. I thank you for every man and woman in this room today. That Holy Spirit, that you will empower them to break down strongholds around them, in their city, and even in their church today. Lord, that we would speak the same message, different ways, different styles, but that the message would be the same. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom. So I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that this voice of unity would be louder in Nashville than it's ever been before. I declare that every person in this room, including myself, that we would be your vessel that you could use. Ooh, Holy Spirit, we want to be unifiers today. We want to see the body of Christ unified. I speak to the divisions against ethnicities and denominations, that those walls would be broken down. And Lord, even the significance of what Grant and Mark are doing in this building, the significance of a white church and a black church, that Lord, you're doing something even in the significance of this building in this city. I declare, Lord, unity right now, that it would not be an option, but it would be a mandate. And I thank you, Lord, for books, songs, and melodies, and messages that would allow people to come together. One last thing. I want to say this to you. I believe the cure to depression and suicide is in what Jesus is praying. One of the leading causes of all of this is depression, is feeling isolated. And if we can show a representation, a healthy representation of the body of Christ together, we can have the answer to breaking the stronghold of suicide and depression in Jesus' name.
That's so good. Amen. We want to prophesy and speak blessing over you too, Mark. And as he was giving this message, I kept sensing a vision where a spirit, we all are aware of Holy Spirit, but there are many other spirits that actively work in our lives. And the sound, the spirit of the sound of God was in this room. And for some of us, we engaged and stepped into the sound. It was like surrounding us, not just inside of us, but we were being totally surrounded all around us and inside, because the word is the sound, you know? We heard the sound of God's heart today. The sound of his heart for the church. And we just want to honor this man who has been faithful to give this word. And it is going to go from this room around the world. I proclaim this word will be heard not just in Nashville, not just in the region, but this will be heard around this country, and even it will be sent around the world. The sound must be heard. The vibration of heaven must be heard. And he's chosen your obedience to speak it to us, to encourage us. I want James to speak a word over you. I want Karen as well, and any others that really have one. We want you to be encouraged of what you've done in obedience.
Pastor Mark, you are filled with the Spirit. You are fulfilled. But I prayed yesterday for a word, because we always release a word to the speaker. I want to break something down to you, and there'll be a lot to it. I'm not going to be able to say all of it today. But this is the story. This is the word God gave me for you out of 1 Samuel 17:20, when Jesse sent David forward. And it says at the battle where Goliath was, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And it said he came to the trench. All right, let me just break this one word trench down to you. In Hebrew, it actually in the roots means it's a wheel, a revolving circular track. Like it really means he's in cycle. He got to the right place at the right time. Remember he said he will lead, Psalm 23, he will lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you research that, it means he's in that wheel. He's in the revolving circular wheel. He's in the right place at the right time. He gets to this place. And it says, as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle, he got there at the right time. He's at the right place. He hears Goliath. He hears the sound of what you had said earlier, the boss. And Goliath in the roots, I've got to break this down for you. He's Goliath of Gath. Take the word Gath all the way down as far as you can get it in Hebrew, and it actually means a minstrel, a false sound. And David in the spirit's in the right place at the right time because of the anointing. He had already been anointed. He had the Spirit of the Lord upon him. And because of that, he's able to come against that sound in the spirit, not the Saul's armor. So let me just make this short today. Acts chapter 3, Peter and James, John at the gate beautiful. Gate means a portal. Beautiful means in the right season, in the right hour, at the exact moment for these convergences. So this anointing is upon you, and I hope you receive this. God's saying, you are in the right path. You're in the right cycle. And David even brought 10 cheeses and 10, the bread and the cheese. That's all deep in Hebrew too, meaning he's bringing something that what he brought is piercing through the natural realm. So will you receive this, that you're in the right place at the right time, and you're coming against a sound, and you've got the anointing to come against this sound, the sound of Goliath, amen, that you talked about in this city, that sound, that principality, you're fulfilled in the spirit. I hope that makes sense to you today. God bless you.
What she had said about the sound, I just add to this before James, you know, it's interesting. You're at the south portal of our city. South View, of course, is the south gate of our city. And it's very significant God put you there because of the influence you have over that portal. As a matter of fact, you're a gatekeeper of that portal. And there are things that cannot come into the city because of your life, your testimony, and the word that you carry. And so we feel safe that we have that, at the south portal of our city. And I feel the same for Carl up at the north portal. And we've got the east and the west. And see, God does this intentionally. He lays out a pattern. He lays out a significant intentional pattern for every city that says, yes, we will serve you. And this city, a long time ago, even with the Fisk Singers, said, we will worship and be worship city. And it's happened that we even get now called, nicknamed, Worship City, Worship City Alliance. It's very significant you're here, and it makes us feel, I really feel encouraged to know that the South Portal is well taken care of.
I feel like I need to confirm what you guys are saying. Josh and I were in a meeting with the mayor of Thompson Station, and long story short, our land is in kind of between Franklin and Thompson Station. And we sat in a meeting with our Thompson Station mayor, and we're getting annexed into Thompson Station. And he said this with his own mouth. He said, you will be the gate to Thompson Station. And I just thought, we get to be an entry point to the city. So when you say gate, portal, all of those things, it's exactly what we've been living in. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark. My brother.
Now, I haven't been at your facility for, you know, several years, and I don't even know if you're at the same place. And so, I keep seeing, like three fathers, and there probably are others that have been in your life. But your natural father, is that who's here today? And then Don Finto as a adopted spiritual father to your life. But I kept also seeing Steve Berger and seeing these three like hovering in a sense over you. And I just want to acknowledge that before the Lord, because the Lord brings, people into our lives. And we walk in a culture of honor. And I'm not saying that there's not been or is others. And so I just want to acknowledge in a culture of honor those who go before us and those who have significant impact. For me, my number one major impact influencer has been Derek Prince, and has been and probably will be all the days of my life. But I want to say some things here. I have been carrying this word on the inside of me, and you know this. And it's a parallel issue about the facility that you have been in. And it's about this low ceiling. You will not be under any low ceiling. There is going to be a remarkable shift that is going to happen. The weight of this message is a portal. It is an opening. And there will be a supernatural activity of the Lord. And there will be a supernatural supply that is going to happen, that is going to actually change in the natural the ceiling that you have been under. And there has been in the past, now you have gotten over it, but a little bit of a grumble that was inside of you of, why am I still under such a low ceiling? And then you had to get over it. Because you kind of, for a little while, compared yourself to a few others. Of why they got to be in bigger spaces, bigger places. And the Lord used a smaller box to create a place within you that would be a bigger box, a bigger place than even the facility that you were in. And he used a confined space to create an unconfined space within you. And this has been a divine design of God. And now that this message is reaching a place of, in God's mind and heart, a design of perfection, you will now find that the low ceiling in the natural will be lifted. And a supernatural supply will happen. A supernatural supply will happen, and a shift will occur. And this man does not live under this Mark, Sir Mark. I'm going to call you Sir Mark. You do not live under a low ceiling. You received a word, a hard word from me. And you received it. And kind sir, Sir Mark, you do not live under any low ceiling in the name of Jesus. And soon there is going to be a supernatural supply, and there will be a high ceiling that you will be under in Jesus' mighty
name. Let it be so. Let it be so. Receive that, Mark.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you, Sir Mark.
So now you know his new title is Sir Mark. Amen. You know, God has had his focus on the South View for quite a while, just like he has here in this church, Unite. You know, we're not, quote, outside the city limits. It's right inside, but this could be very well the East Portal that he wants to use. And I know I'm missing something on the West, but God is working in this city. We're all a part of it because he is awakening. He is awakening Nashville, Tennessee. And he sent many people, as you alluded to, in the last few years because they sense something's happening here. So again, thank you. Thank you for coming all the way up into the center of the city today. May the Lord bless you guys. Come up and just give him a big hug and encouragement. Thank you all for coming today. So appreciate having you here.